Hello, listener, and welcome to yet another edition of the Zeitgeist Tapes, in which usually just me and my co-host Emma Burnell.
Hello.
Hello, Emma. By the way, my name's Stephen Fielding. Discuss an aspect of politics and popular culture, and to talk around the issues. I think it would be fair to say it's as specific as that. And sometimes we're joined by a special guest, and today we're joined by Mr. Tim Worthington, the occasional broadcaster.
Yes, hello, that's me. Yeah.
And one reason why we're joined by Tim today is because he's also television's clangers expert.
Well, that's what the BBC News Channel called me on the day they hauled me into the studio to talk about the revival of the clangers, when by chance I was wearing the worst shirt I have ever owned. So please don't go and look for that online.
So anyway, yes. Anyway, Tim, by the way, told me to introduce him as TV's clangers expert, but now he's just undermined his professional presentational skills. Anyway, never mind. So we are all gathered together today to discuss, well, I think we've just given away the clue, the clangers, but not the clangers, the whole series, but a very specific episode of the clangers, the episode called Vote for Froglet, which was broadcast on the BBC and BBC One on election night in October 1974, which is kind of a remarkable episode. I won't talk about it at length because that's really why Tim's here. And then we'll talk about what it's about, why they might have done it, and what it might say to us today. So Tim, do you want to give us some sort of wider context for Vote for Froglet?
Yeah, I think the most important thing here, which a lot of people kind of in the political side of things might not pick up on, is the fact that, I mean, you guys will understand the technicalities of this better than I do, but it's my understanding that there was a general election in, I think it was early March 74.
In February,
where there was a hung parliament. And as I understand it, it was almost a certainty that another general election would be called very soon. And so broadcasters were technically, because they didn't know when it would be called, on sort of that, under that weird standby that they're always under in anticipation of a general election, where they don't say anything too, you know, inflammatory or possibly biased or prejudiced. Nobody write in and tell me how the BBC is biased. Thank you. That's a dispute for another day. But the thing here was, I mean, it affected what the BBC in particular were doing for those 6 months. Well, more than 6 months, actually, in really weird ways. I mean, one thing that really quite timely and topical is they just started repeating the first ever repeat of Series 3 of Monty Python's Flying Circus when the hung parliament happened. One of those episodes, when it first went out, the only time this was ever seen, it started with a choreographed party political broadcast with, you know, men in leotards coaching the politicians on how to tap dance in time with their words, followed by a Terry Gilliam animation of Heath and Wilson dancing the Sugar Plum Fairy. They had to cut that out. That's been missing for nearly 50 years. And everyone thought it was gone completely. But in the Blu-ray that has literally, about 10 minutes ago, just come through my door, so I'll be watching it straight after this, they've found it and they've reinstated it. And that's amazing. But Vote for Froglet has never resurfaced since 1974, apart from you can now watch it on the BFI website. But there's a lot of very odd reasons for that. The main thing is, I've got to give credit here to a guy called Clive Banks, who's a really prolific, long-standing chronicler. It helps if I say words properly. Chronicler of Cult TV, who actually, as far as I'm aware, because people knew Vote for Froglet existed, because it was, I think it was 4 years after the actual two series of clangers were on. He was the first person to know who went up to Oliver Postgate and said, "What was this and what's it all about?" And he got a quote from Oliver Postgate that said, "I was so angry in 1973, the winter of discontent, when the miners' union and the government were locked in mortal combat and the economy was going into the ground. I honestly thought, having been in Germany at the end of the war and seeing what happened when the economy collapsed completely, I got really frightened. So I thought the process of government was completely buggered," note he said buggered, "by inter-party squabbling. So I went to the BBC and said, can I do a little clangers film about the election?" So I'm not even convinced. The general sense is that it was to explain what was happening to kids in terms of why were there all these men in suits all over TV shouting all the time, making children's TV be cancelled randomly while they went on and on. I actually think it was more a platform for his opinions of the situation on his own terms, but delivered to kids, which explains a bit more about this disappearance, because it's unclear whether Peter Furman was actually involved in it or not. And there are no credits on it, which is really weird. Mm. It's not a Small Films production, it's a BBC production. And it doesn't start with the Clangers lettering, you know, the gold spangly lettering, which you know, people have theorised, was that disposed of? No, it wasn't, because Emma, I have a photo of you admiring that lettering a couple of years ago.
Yes, Tim and I went to visit a Small Films exhibition at the Bethnal Green Museum of Childhood a couple of years ago, which was great fun.
So anyone who wants to, as Tim said, you can just go, just Google Vote for Froglet, and it's on the BFI website. But very briefly, for our listener who may not wish to do that just right now, essentially it's exactly the same setup as a conventional episode of The Clangers. And it starts with the kind of noise from Earth. You can hear Edward Heath and Sir Keith Joseph, I think, you know, talking.
Babbling away.
And Oliver Postgate as a narrator, that sort of gentle voice. Basically, he takes the Clangers through what an election is, because they're a bit curious as to what all this noise is. And he says, what, you haven't got a government? You know, who rules, you know, on this moon? And it seems that the Clangers are living in a kind of period, they're anarchists. Nobody
is the ruler.
Yeah, they're getting along without government. That seems to be what's going on. So the narrator basically says, well, you need to have elections to decide who is. That's what democracy is. And then they have an election, but they don't like the result. And then they all start arguing with each other. And in the end, they just basically say, we don't want this. Because essentially, Oliver Postgate seems to be saying that the two parties are, you know, elections are about dividing us rather than bringing us together. Which is a, you know, kind of an interesting point of view, maybe. And Tim has suggested why he might have thought that in 1974. But I think the interesting thing about it is that that's what quite a lot of people started to think in 1974, because it was, you know, Britain was in crisis, industrial economic crisis. They voted that Edward Heath called the election in February. On the basis of who governs, because there'd just been a miners' strike, or there was a miners' strike, the result was a minority Labour government.
So yeah, the answer was not you.
The answer was not you, but not really Labour either. Labour got held another election in October, and it got a bare majority of three seats in October, so it could just about form a government. But fewer and fewer people were voting for the two main parties. They kind of. Millions voted for the Liberals and Scottish Nationalists. About 25% of the electorate did that, and people weren't voting as much as they used to as well. So there was a lot of discontent with the two parties, and specifically Oliver Postgate, who was the grandson of George Lansbury, the Labour leader of the 1930s, and was, you know, raised in this kind of left wing bohemian family. He voted Liberal in October for the first time in the hope of having a coalition government. So actually the Clangers were putting across a kind of anti-party, even you might say anti-representative democracy kind of an idea, because it's actually saying the reason why we're in the mess is because we've got these two political parties that are all about arguing and creating division.
I mean, it is fascinating, isn't it? There's so many, like, it's 7 minutes long, and yet there's so many echoes in it that you could talk about forever. So, for example, the election is won by one vote. It's a very, very close election. A mother clanger is the floating voter who makes the difference.
Yeah, a bit sexist there. Yeah. But very gendered electorate there, yes.
And then
she doesn't want to vote, does she?
She doesn't want to vote at all. And then she's forced to vote, and she makes a choice. And then it turns out that her choice means that Froglet won't get soup, which is a very big deal. And so she wants to change her mind, but she's told, no, you voted. You cannot change your mind. Yes. I can't imagine how that might have echoes in today's world.
Yeah.
Well, I'm concerned by the absence of the Iron Chicken, which is very odd, you know, because that... It's down to a two-party system. Where is the Iron Chicken?
Well, she doesn't start running the Tory party until a bit later.
So it's kind of, I mean, I guess why the BBC allowed it, put it on. I mean, partly because it was kind of saying a plague on both your houses, yeah, and therefore they couldn't be accused.
It's not partisan.
It's not partisan, except, I mean, Oliver Postgate was clearly not very happy with the direction of the Labour Party at this point in time, because in February and October, because of the greater influence of Tony Benn and the left, Labour went into the election saying it was committed to, a sort of a massive redistribution of power and wealth to working people and their families, right, in both elections. Labour's policies were very similar to maybe what John McDonnell is, what's going to Labour's manifesto this time round, except more so. Very radical, but clearly Oliver Postgate didn't really fancy it.
I'm not sure that's necessarily true, because Postgate was pretty left-wing.
I would say, though, he was somebody who was very political, but kind of in a, like people like Bernard Levin, that I'm not sure you really get anymore, where they have very strongly held views, but feel that the machinations of politics get in the way of them.
Yeah.
And it's all about, you know, why have I got to sacrifice some of what I believe in to stand behind my party? And it's echoed in, this has never been officially confirmed, but Danny Boyle did hint that he tried to include the Clangers in the 2012 Olympic opening ceremony and was told under no circumstances they'd be to use in anything with any political leaning whatsoever. Which is interesting, because the only other thing I know of that was vetoed for that was, you know, the countdown of numbers at the start of it?
Yeah.
Where it has 10 down the sheet. So 6 was going to be number 6's door for the prisoner. And quite rightly, McEwen's estate said, what on earth would number 6 be doing in a big celebration of culture? But apparently that is the case with the Clangers, that he, having made this film himself, was very keen at because a lot of the actual episodes of Clangers itself have kind of a political slant in some ways, as the one where a TV lands on the planet and the second the politician comes on, they fire it back into space.
There's really?
The one where they keep collecting chocolate coins and hoarding them until they realise you can eat them, and then that's everything solved. But yeah, apparently none of those characters are ever allowed to be used in anything on a political platform, even if it's as innocent as the Olympic opening ceremony. So I think he was against the politicisation of ideals, maybe.
Well, he was clearly, yeah, I mean, he obviously had political ideals of a certain sort. I mean, I think on the basis of that Clangers, a vote for Froglet, he thought if we could all get along together, we could all find our solutions if it wasn't for these political parties intervening and dividing us. So I would think, I mean, it sounds very much like some kind of anarchism. I mean, some sort of gentle-minded anarchism that we can all get along together if there's the right system for us. And I think by the 1970s, the early 1970s, he just didn't think, certainly not the Conservatives, because he wasn't brought up in that kind of a household. But I got the impression from his memoirs, when he was discussing about this episode, that he really didn't like the way the Labour Party was going. And quite a lot of middle class kind of progressives at this point didn't like the way that the trade unions, they saw the trade unions as bullies, as being too powerful. And this is all very interesting about the politics of all of this. And the way that Labour was, you know, going closer to what the unions wanted, he didn't like. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people on the right of the Labour Party who were jumping ship at this point in time and joining the Liberals. And as I say, Oliver Postgate voted Liberal in October 1974, hoping for a coalition government. And I think that shows how his own personal politics were changing, if that's of any interest to anybody. But it also, it kind of evokes a more general attitude, which is one that maybe today we've got, which is one reason why we're talking about the Clangers, which is a sense that the two-party system we have, just doesn't really represent the full range of opinion between us. And particularly when, I mean, this is, I think, one reason why he kind of became disenchanted with Labour, when it seemed, at least in his own mind, it seemed to represent a very specific interest group of people and an extreme political view, which wasn't his. And he didn't really, you know, like I say, in the end, he voted Liberal, but maybe just because, well, it was a question of neither Labour nor Tories. So I think a lot of people think that now, you know, both parties are divided over Brexit. Both parties are being effectively run by people of, you know, historically extreme opinions, the far left and the far right of the Tories and Labour. And there's a lot of people in the ground who probably will maybe vote for one of those two parties who don't really fancy them and certainly don't fancy their leaders. You know, nobody has got a positive rating as in terms of who do you think is the best prime minister? I mean, for Corbyn, it's minus 40 or something. And for Johnson, it's somewhere in the single figures, but minus. Nobody, you know, we don't like them.
No, and I think that is overlooked sometimes in the discussion, that both of them are as extreme as each other. But in some ways, because Labour went extreme very quickly, and for the Tories, it's been like boiling a frog, I don't think we necessarily...
Not a froglet. See them
in a not a froglet. Not a froglet. No froglet soup. but I think that there is very little attention paid to just how extreme the Tories have become. I mean, going back to the episode, obviously what happens in that is that the soup dragon sets out his platform, which is free soup for everybody, but froglets don't get soup. And then Froglet just says, I disagree with everything the soup dragon says, and that's my platform.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it's like on Futurama where they have Jack Johnson and John Jackson, the two identical politicians, but where he says, I think your 10-cent titanium tax goes too far. I think your 10-cent titanium tax does not go too far enough.
Yeah. I mean, this all goes back to, I mean, I do this course with students at Nottingham University, and we start off looking at Charles Dickens and the Eatanswill by-election from about 1834. And it's exactly the same kind of depiction of two-party politics. You know, whatever the blues are in favour of, the buffs are against, and whatever the buffs are in favour of, the blues are against. So in many ways, Postgate is kind of expressing a long-standing kind of discontent with representative politics. One that, you know, at certain moments of crisis, and you know, the 1970s were a period of grave economic crisis, people start to think, you know, the parties start to take extreme, kind of embrace extreme solutions, and that leaving people in the middle thinking, but I don't really like either of those. And today we're in a not dissimilar situation over Brexit, but also over the economy.
Well, it's just made me think of something that genuinely hadn't occurred to me before, which was this was made, Rover Froglet was made just after production wrapped on Bagpuss,
right?
Which, you know, was the I think the Postgate and Furman series that people really remember, if there is one. When you think about that, you've got discounting Bagpuss himself, who's, you know, maybe he's the ordinary people, he's got his head in the clouds, he's a dreamer, he goes to sleep and things get too stressful. You know, you've got Professor Yaffle was actually based on Bertrand Russell. He's supposed to be a hard left winger, know-it-all. Got Gabriel Madeline, our leave. They are superstitious, they think you should know your place because folklore, you know, they're very, very patronizing to anyone who doesn't agree with them. And then you got the mice going on strike constantly. I mean, I'm not keen on people reading mad agendas into old children's TV programs that weren't there. I think that was very much there. I think it started as a program about, you know, a girl with a magic junk shop, but I think it really does reflect clearly what he was feeling at that time.
Well, I think I'm the historian of this group, then I mean, in the 1970s there were people who would have normally have thought of themselves as Labour, progressive middle class figures, who did, you know, look around them and obviously newspaper reports and TV reports, there were a lot of strikes, and they started to think the trade unions are the problem. You know, if only, you know, and so I'm not surprised that, you know, strikes were being depicted. I've forgotten about the strikes in Bagpuss, that he was kind of channeling some of his own concerns into things like that, because these were generally held views amongst a certain kind of person who then ended up, you know, with some regret in some of their minds, voting for Thatcher in 1979 after the winter of discontent.
or Madeline the Ragdoll, as you could call her. So, yeah.
Well, maybe Bagpuss and Vote for Froglet are kind of straws in the wind about a certain kind of view, about how things are going and how certain people were reacting to it. And Oliver Postgate, who most people think has been, you know, kindly little uncle with that nice gentle voice, was part of the process that was leading to Margaret Thatcher.
Oh my goodness, that's quite the thing to pin on Oliver Postgate.
It's a thought.
I mean, it is true, I think, that there was a certain middle class dissatisfaction with the Labour movement. They sort of grown up going on Ban the Bomb demos, but didn't really want the unions running everything. And it feels like then the 80s was such a strong reaction to that. But it didn't get the kind of pushback until recently. So, the 90s was Labour kind of adopting a lot of those stances rather than challenging them. And now, of course, Labour is challenging both its own recent history and history in general in terms of having gone further to the left. It's very interesting. And obviously we will find out in the next few weeks how viable that is electorally, how many people are dissatisfied with the status quo.
And how they see the status quo as well. I mean, is the status quo staying in the EU or is a status quo society of, an unequal society, and which one do you think is the most important issue of the day? I think that's what Labour is. And Labour will say, obviously, it's not Brexit. Let's not talk about Brexit. It's an epiphenomenon of a deeper malaise that can only be solved by massively expanding the state and doing all kinds of stuff.
I mean, I don't think Labour are wrong that Brexit is a symptom, not a cause, but they are wrong in that you've got to talk about that bloody symptom.
Yes. So looking at the clock, given the episode we're talking about lasted about 7 minutes,
we should probably wrap this up.
we maybe should wrap this up. But are there any closing thoughts from television's Clangers expert?
Yeah, just the thing that we've all avoided mentioning so far is that right at the end, when Postgate's still doing his narration about how wonderful democracy is, they all start walking away, jumping into the bin lid covered holes on the planet, reputedly. There is a sod off hidden amongst the Swanee whistles, genuinely, and it ends with him. He says, "Hey, are you listening to me?" And small Clunker just goes, "Ooh." And maybe we could deal with going up behind leading politicians with Swanee whistles right now. That's my controversial statement of the day.
And the episode does actually end because it starts with Edward Heath and Sir Keith Joseph, and it ends with Tony Benn.
Well, there you go.
Ooh, yes. So Emma, are you done?
I think we are pretty well. I think we have kind of done the Clangers to death now. Yep. Yeah.
Well, listener, I think we would all recommend that you actually Google Vote for Froglet, having listened to this.
It is wonderful.
It is.
I mean, I absolutely love it. And as I say, it's 7 minutes of fun. Mm. And the Clangers are wonderful anyway. But I think it does have an awful lot more to say to our current situation than you would think.
Yes. So maybe this will be the Clangers election, perhaps the one that's coming up where we're all little Oliver Postgates. I don't know. But anyway, so to wrap things up, I just need to thank our guest Tim, TV's Clangers expert.
Thank you.
To Emma.
Thank you.
And to me, thank you. And to thank the listener for persevering, and also to thank Stuart Wood for providing us with our theme tune, and to remind everybody that this has been a Political Human production. And if you've liked what you've heard, but not if you haven't, can you go and rate and review us? We are currently 5 stars on iTunes, which apparently is quite good, but you can always add some comments to that. So,
Absolutely.
So thank you. Good night, good evening, good afternoon, or good morning, or wherever you're listening to this. We're off.